Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Everything I need to know about one life.
Hello, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa Virtual Service. I am Edward Fulyun, the Senior Minister, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to our service today, especially if this is the first time you're joining us. You can find more information about our center on our website, cslsr.org. You can also discover us on Instagram. You don't even have to be an Instagram user to visit our Instagram profile. You can also find us on Facebook. Indeed, some of you may very well be watching us on Facebook right now. And so I invite you to take advantage of the donate button. You'll see that on our page that we have a Thanksgiving fundraiser, and we put that donate button wherever we can to make it easy for you to contribute, especially if the services and the meditations and the classes and groups of the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa contribute to your life. We invite you to help us keep it running smoothly with a donation of any amount. You can also find our donation portal on our website, cslsr.org. The wonderful news about the Facebook donate button is that Facebook gives 100% of your donation to the center. We are very pleased with that. And they regularly make the contribution transfer to our bank account easily and effortlessly. So you can have confidence that contributing through Facebook is safe and an efficient and effective way to support the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. At the center, we are compelled by a vision of a healthy, loving world. We call it the global vision. And in that vision is this idea that there is space for all of us, for every one of us. I invite you to take that idea into your heart. It's what we're about here at the center: inclusion, welcoming, compassion. We will have a spiritual mind treatment, and that's another word for affirmative prayer, to center us for this morning's service. To open our hearts and lead the way to that experience, I invite you now to take a deep breath in And as you exhale, be prepared to enjoy this music and most of all, to feel welcome here.
God is life, I am life. God is light, I am light. God is joy, I am joy. God is peace, I am peace. God is love, I am love. God is beautiful, I am beautiful. God is powerful, I am powerful. All of these things God is. Things I am. God is life, I am life. God is light, I am light. God is joy, I am joy. God is peace, I am peace. God is love. God is powerful, I am powerful. All of these things God is, I am. All of these things I am.
Please join me in prayer. Love. Truth, joy, peace. This is the Divine One. This is Spirit. This is the Spirit of life itself, the power of life itself. The power that creates all that is, the power that creates all of life. It creates and sustains and loves and nourishes all that it has created. And it is everywhere, always expanding, always expressing itself. And I am one with it, as each person here is the unique expression of the divine. Each one of us, an expression of love and joy. And from this place of oneness with the divine, I speak my word for this day, this service today, that as our hearts and minds are open to receive the gifts of love, are given, be it the words, the message, the music, the pause of silence, the unique connections that we all are having together as we gather here at this service today. There is love. There is wisdom. All of these things are offered and can be received. We are blessed to be here, blessed to be on this earth, blessed to be together. And I am so grateful for this knowing of the presence of the divine. I am filled with joy and gratefulness, and I release this word into the law, knowing that as I let go it already has become. And so it is. Good morning. I'm Jan Svoboda, a prayer practitioner here at the Center. I'd like to share an affirmation from our Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision Book. The strength of the living spirit is steady, flexible, forever renewing itself in every moment. All of the attributes of spirit are alive in me. And so it is.
I recently had a conversation with a friend of our center, Dr. Deborah Johnson. She's the founder of Inner Light Ministries in Santa Cruz. And we had a conversation about the United States of America, and also about those of us, like you and me, who identify ourselves as students of New Thought. Now, if you don't know who Dr. Deborah Johnson is, she's a regular guest speaker here at the center, and you can see her past appearances in our video library on our website. They're all over there. And she misses us, and we love her, and she will be back to speak to us for sure. Now, when I have a conversation with Dr. Deborah, well, it reminds me of the Beatles lyrics from Across the Universe, because words just flow out of us like endless rain into a paper cup. And I always learn something from her when we have a conversation. And importantly, she helps me understand what it means to be Black in America today. She shared with me in the conversation the exhaustion that is felt among people in our nation who are marginalized, the exhaustion that comes from having to explain the experience of racism, and the disappointment and upset that comes when society continues to deny that racism was, is, or continues in our nation. We also got to talk about the tendency among people of our faith tradition, New Thought believers, the tendency to withdraw ourselves from these conversations by saying such things as spirituality has no place in these social topics, in politics, in justice, in matters of equity, etc. And we talked about what happens when you and I withdraw our faith and our conviction from those conversations. See, what happens when we remove what we believe from those conversations is that what is left behind is the faith and the conviction of other people who are not afraid to speak from their belief systems. And so the result is our voice of inclusion and oneness and compassion and unity is not heard because it's not present. In truth, Dr. Deborah and I are of the opinion that right now, we are standing at the gateway of a tremendous new possibility. And that possibility is for us to bring what we believe and what we practice, to bring that proudly to these conversations and to proclaim to the world exactly what it is that our faith tradition compels us to do and to say and to think. And to do this without making apologies to those who believe differently and without kind of tiptoeing around asking to be accepted at the table of spiritual and religious thought. No, rather to participate, because this is who we are. And because we know the power of naming a problem, refuting it, and then replacing it in mind with a greater idea. One that is so aligned with spiritual truth that it adjusts the false condition. And as a faith community, we also know the danger of ignoring a problem. The 12-step community knows this very well. The 12-step community knows that without accepting that the problem is there, it's difficult to do anything about it. Me, in my life, my problems get bigger when I try to take myself out of the equation, when I try to take myself out of the problem and to say, well, that has nothing to do with me. I have to look at what is. I have to look at the big picture. I have to take it in. I have to own it. I have to admit it and then do my work in consciousness. I saw a post on social media that started off like this, saying, we have to stop saying this is not who we are as Americans. The poster was describing the radical division that is in our nation right now. Such a division that it's to the point where it's like there are two different Americas at once. And thinking that a win on one side by some small percentage is a solution, is a healing trajectory, with each side thinking the other side is deplorable. With each side saying, this is not who we are. With each side saying, this isn't a problem of my making. I'm not part of this. It's up to the other side to make the adjustments. And then the social media poster goes on to say, I'll say the whole thing. We have to stop saying this is not who we are as Americans, because this is exactly who we are. We can't heal it until we see it and admit it and take responsibility for it. We can't heal it while we think it's somebody else's fault only. We can't heal it while we insist, I'm not part of this. We just won't get to the other side of it if there continues to be straight up denial of what happened, what is happening, and what will likely continue to happen in our nation when it comes to racism. It's basic 12 step, you know. We've got to acknowledge this is where we are. This is America. I am part of it. Not in a defeated, dejected way, but in the way of a student of new thought who has in their mind at the same time questions such as, what now? What's next? What shall I declare? Where shall I take this line of thinking? What is mine to do? What is mine to say? What is mine to know? What is the spiritual truth that applies to all sides? What is the will of the divine in this matter? What is my role in bringing that will forth? And what actions lead to a world that work for all and not just 50-something percent? In our movement, Centers for Spiritual Living, we have a vision. It's called the Global Vision. And it's a vision of a world that works for everyone. It's a beautiful vision, and the words of it just ring true. They touch us in our heart. A world that works for everyone. And when we say those words, when we say we want a world that works for everyone, Dr. Deborah says, it's like saying, I want to be sober. But we don't typically just wake up one morning sober. I mean, it could happen, but typically there is work to be done from here to there. Typically, there is a path to sobriety. There are steps. There is a blueprint. Like, take, for example, from the 12-step tradition, one of the steps is we must do a fierce and honest inventory of exactly what happened, what is right now, if we want to have a creative input into what shall be. You know, I think that's up for us, not just as individuals in this nation, but collectively, because we are in this together. There is no doubt about that. Look, as a movement, little did we know that at the moment we announced collectively, I see a world that works for everyone. I want a world that works for everyone. That we, well, in that moment, that we bought a ticket for a train ride that has its destination, which is called oneness. And that journey from where we are to that oneness includes such things, for example, as a fierce and honest collective inventory, where we get to admit that there is a system that is designed to work better for some and worse for others. It may be the biggest work we have to do as a nation, to get out of denial about where we are so that we can go to where we want to be. And the good news to me is that the destination is solid. The good news is that that vision of a world that works for everyone is pulling us forward to it. And it's not just the global vision of Centers for Spiritual Living, but it is the vision also of our Declaration of Independence. The good news is that we called this forth. We want it. You know, in the old days, we used to say, be careful of what you call forth, because you may get it. Another important part of the 12-step tradition, well, it's to make a list of all the people we have harmed during the time of our unconsciousness, and then become willing to make amends. You know, when I think of that step, I'm thinking of black, indigenous, people of color, gays, lesbians, transgender, the shelterless, minorities, veterans, the aged, those who are economically struggling, those who are differently abled, and the list goes on. Now, here is a very important point for me as a student of New Thought, like you are. I know that you and I, we cannot hide behind such statements as, well, I personally didn't do any of that discriminating. I don't discriminate. I'm colorblind. I don't benefit from a system in ways that others do not. I don't take advantage. And the reason why I cannot hide in that, whether or not it's accurate, is because everything is consciousness, and there really isn't a place where I can divide it up and say, this is their karma, that is their responsibility, this is spiritual, that is not spiritual, this is my life, that is their life, and so on. No. A cornerstone of our faith tradition is that there is only one life. A student of New Thought, like you and me, declares, this is where I am right now. I admit it all. This is the world. This is my world. And everything in it impacts everything in it, and I'm part of it. not in a defeated, scared, downtrodden way, but in the way of a new thought believer who knows something can be done about it and is willing to get on the train and to do the work. The power of a student of new thought who knows the effectiveness of spiritual mind treatment. In other words, who knows that speaking truth into law overrides everything that is false and lays out the pathway to freedom. As students of new thought, we know that we solve our problems in the realm of consciousness. So that must mean that we are not afraid to admit our complicity up until now. We also know that we cannot turn entirely away from a condition until we know what it is we are turning away from. And that when we do turn our attention away from the condition, we will be turning towards that which our faith tradition mandates. Have you ever thought about that? What does science of mind mandate? In other words, what is the moral imperative of your faith tradition when it comes to the social condition of the world? I would say it like this. My faith compels me to care about people who are marginalized. My faith compels me to care about people who are shelterless. My faith compels me to treat people with respect because of our shared spiritual heritage. My faith compels me to respect science and to be a good steward for the planet. My faith compels me to share what I have. And my faith compels me to embrace the Declaration of Independence and that all people are created equal, endowed by their Creator with specific, unalienable rights. My faith tradition compels me to hold these truths as self-evident. So, when I say I have nothing to do with it is, whatever problem I'm disassociating from, when I say I have nothing to do with it, therein is the problem, right there. Because I have now subtracted myself from the equation, now it cannot be solved. When I say spirituality has no part in this or that, whatever this or that is, therein is the problem, because right there I have subtracted my faith conviction. Now the problem is being worked out without my voice. Without my faith. I understand why some people do not want to think that they have had anything to do with manifesting the current reality of our world, because it's immensely disappointing, frightening. And on a soul level, on a spiritual level, it isn't who we are. And it's easy to get, well, depressed about it. And yet, we bought a ticket for that train ride, a ticket for a world that works for all. And we bought that ticket not because we are wishful thinkers. No. We bought it because we are world shapers, energetic, creative spiritual beings, peacemakers. Because we are new thought believers who are not afraid to pick up the conversation again, spiritualize it, and announce it to the world with conviction, boldly proclaiming the self-evident truth. I want to leave you with the original text from 1927 by Max Ehrmann, the poem he wrote, Desiderata. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly. And listen to others, even to the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere, life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love. For in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt, the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive God to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful and strive to be happy. I invite you to let the next breath you take be deeper than the one before. As we exhale together, we let that breath be a transition to this part of our time together this morning, in which we take a moment to reflect on the Center for Spiritual Living, its people, you and me, the ministries, the classes, the meditations, the service, and to remember the place of value that it has in our lives and the lives it is changing. We do this every week so that we may feel a heart connection to our center and support it financially. You may make a donation on our website, cslsr.org, or if you are watching us on Facebook, please take advantage of and use the donate button that is on our Facebook page. And now while you think about the place that the Center for Spiritual Living has in your life, please enjoy this music. It's also a wonderful opportunity to open another browser, to visit our website, and to take care of that donation right now.
and peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul,
it is well,
it is well
with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul,
it is well,
it is well
with my soul.
Hello, everyone. I'm Alan Yeager, webmaster and communications officer for the center. Isn't it a joy to have music, a message, and prayer every week in our virtual Sunday service? It's one of the many blessings in our lives to be grateful for. The center offers an astounding array of additional resources, and they're described in the bulletin and on our website. Here are some suggestions for what's coming right up. Every weekday at 10 a.m. from now through December 4th, Reverend Joyce DeFalla leads a 20-minute practice for tapping into and generating a field of divine love. On Wednesday evenings, Inviting the Sacred is a facilitator-led meditation at 6 p.m. that provides a midweek opportunity to simply bask in bliss. And the Saturday morning meditation at 10 a.m. is another comforting option to strengthen your meditation practice. Today at 1:30, the Being and Belonging group gathers for its monthly discussion on our relationship with diversity, inclusivity, racism, and social rank. Everyone's invited. Tonight, Sunday evening conversation is at 7 p.m. And this week's facilitator is practitioner Peggy Weber. Here's her topic: A Place to Pause and Reflect. How about a mirror? Well, that's it for now. Be sure to check out the website and bulletin for more opportunities to stay connected. And thank you so much for being part of our amazing spiritual community.
If you've ever served on the Center's Board of Trustees, then you already know what a rich and rewarding experience it can be. Today, I'm here with Julie Burns, who is one of our current trustees. Hi, Julie.
Hey, Nancy. Great to see you.
Likewise. Julie is a very interesting person for many reasons, one of which is this is the second time Julie has served on the Center's Board of Trustees. And today I wanted to ask if Julie could tell us a little bit about what prompted her to apply for a second term.
Well, part of it was that I had such a beautiful experience the first time. But I hadn't actually planned on applying again. It wasn't on my horizon. But I was sitting at the center on a Sunday morning, and I heard Edward mentioning the need for more people to step up to apply to be on the board. And a voice inside me just said, yes, I can do that. And so I listened to that yes. I learned to trust it. So even though I didn't really know why, I was feeling called to serve at this time. I trusted that because it always proves right and it gets revealed over time. So I guess I just want to say to anyone who's considering it that if you feel that yes, but you don't know why, or you're not sure what you have to offer, if you feel the yes, you can trust that and know that whatever you are there to give will be revealed and beautifully and uniquely.
Well, that really has happened, hasn't it? I've seen that with everyone on the board.
Yeah.
Julie, you mentioned that it was a beautiful experience your first time, and I think that's carried over to your second time. Would you share with us what you mean by that?
Well, I think one of the things that really comes to mind is the way we communicate with each other, the way we are, not only during the board meetings, but during the dialogue and even in our emails. There's such a profound sense of connection and respect and really honoring each person's contribution. And that is just so unusual in today's landscape to have that kind of communication where you are really listened to and what you, each person's perspective is valued and taken into account. So I really, really appreciate that and enjoy that. And it's such a nourishing experience to be a part of that and to see that these science of mind principles are actually lived in full expression in service to this greater community.
Yeah, fantastic. Julie, thank you so much. I love what you said about the yes. And if anyone is listening to this and is hearing a yes, or you might also be hearing a maybe, but either way, if you'd like to learn more about it and see what you might be saying yes to, there's some information on the center's website. From the homepage, look for the link of the Be a Trustee link, and that will take you to some information, and you can request an information pack. We're accepting applications now. The deadline to apply is November 15th. So I hope you'll take a look quickly and see if we can explore serving on the board with you. Julie, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me, Nancy. It's a pleasure.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Galvin, a prayer practitioner here at the center. 2020 has been a year, hasn't it? We've had stressors coming at us from multiple directions. Fire, virus, sequestering, and more. The center's prayer practitioners want to help. We are inviting you to a fall spiritual renewal on Friday and Saturday, November 13th and 14th. You can sign up for a Zoom appointment at 1, 2, or 3 p.m. for a full practitioner session. This is different from the 5-minute prayers after service. Besides training in spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer, practitioners are trained and licensed spiritual coaches. We're experienced in helping you to really drill down to uncover the one thing that would make everything else in your life easier or unnecessary. And once we find it, we hand it over to Spirit with an affirmative prayer to make it reality. Just as your doctor supports your physical health and a therapist supports your emotional health, prayer practitioners support your spiritual progress. And like other professionals, we charge a fee, but not this time. This event is our gift to you. To sign up, see the CSL Santa Rosa website homepage with instructions for a Zoom appointment sign up. I hope to see you at the renewal. I'm Kathy Galvin, and I approve this message.
Won't you please say these words with me? If they are not yet familiar to you, they will be if you hang around with us long enough. Something wonderful is happening through me right now. It is this thing called life. Life is in my mind, life is in my body, and life is in my affairs. I think it, I feel it, and I accept it, just the way that it is, and just the way that it is not. Thank you, life. Know with me that you are never alone, that Spirit is right where you are, that you have only to look within at any moment to know that you are guided, sustained, and supported by a presence that expresses its love in this world through your love. In deepest gratitude, let us live our lives accordingly so that in everything that we do and say and think, we honor this presence of love within. And so it is. If you stay through to the end of the service, you will see messages of love and support from our community perhaps your message is on the scrolling words. I'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our power, loved ones all are we. Let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow. To take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Thank you.